This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning.
If you cannot afford a lawyer, one will be provided for you at government expense. Do you understand?
Earlier this month, the Supreme Court changed what suspects under interrogation should understand. Once suspects had to waive those rights for their words to be admissible as evidence. Now they have to declare they are exercising their right not to incriminate themselves. We all know the Miranda warning. We've heard it recited on TV hundreds of times. It's formality, a comforting confirmation that there is, in fact, law and order in the world. That's what shows like Law and Order and Hill Street Blues gave us. But NYPD Blue did not. David Milch wrote for Hill Street, but helped to create NYPD Blue. He wanted to make something more realistic, so he hired the best cop he could find, Bill Clark.
Bill said, if you show a guy getting his Miranda rights, I quit.
You're kidding.
Now, that doesn't mean that that was what Billy ultimately wanted, but what he was trying to do was disabuse me of the idea that the giving of Miranda is the norm. NYPD Blue tried to portray more realistically the living paradox of the cop situation, which is, we want you to deprive the suspect of as much of his constitutional rights as is necessary for society to function. And then we want you to lie to us.
Did that come up in the program?
Yes, it came up all the time. And it's usually associated with the idea of physical force being applied to the suspect to secure a confession. There's a scene in the first season where the more experienced detective is talking to a younger guy about when and if you beat a suspect, when and if you give him his Miranda rights, among others.
Let me put it to you like this. I never raise my hand to a guy if I think he's guilty or I'm trying to find out if he's guilty. But if I'm sure he's guilty and the case is going to walk, unless I raise my hand, I do what I got
to
do.
You've been willing to break the social contract, pal. And so am I.
How do you think Law and Order handled Miranda? They use it pretty regularly on that.
Yeah, that's none of my business.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you'd rather not comment on that program.
Right.
But you think that the impact of the constant invocation of the Miranda law that has enabled all of us who watch crime shows on TV to practically recite it word for word, like the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, that is a dumbing down of the populace. And a cop who relies excessively and programmatically on the administration of Miranda at a given point, always the same point in a process, is a lousy cop. Every case, every arrest, every questioning has to be taken as sui generis, as its own thing. And you have to know when to give someone his rights, and when, at a minimum, to give him the illusion that he's going to lose his rights unless he cooperates.
So the formality of the giving of the Miranda warning is the biggest fiction in a fictional program.
Thank you. Can you go to work? Can you help me later on?
David, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
David Milch was co-creator with Stephen Bochco of NYPD Blue. Susan Bandes is a professor of law at DePaul University. She's watched all 261 episodes of the show to study its use of the Miranda warning. She says the show is very real from the cop's perspective.
Miranda is something they have to get around, something that's keeping them from getting to the truth. And so the cop's job is to convince people that, in fact, it's in their interest to confess.
You want an attorney in here? I'll get you an attorney in here. He's going to tell you to shut up. And then things will become adversarial. The deal's gone. Forget the deal. Is that what you want? Us against you? Knowing what I know about you, you want me against you? I don't think so.
Cops tell the suspects that only they can be sure that if the suspect really acted in self-defense or really didn't know he was driving the getaway car or really felt remorseful, that only they can make sure that that story gets out. First of all, that simply isn't true. They'll have plenty of time to get their story out to their defense attorney, to a jury, to a judge. And second of all, cops are probably, as Miranda itself goes out of its way to tell them, they're adversaries in the situation, not their friends.
Can you recall a specific episode of NYPD Blue in which this issue came up?
One where it came up in a rather dramatic context was one where I believe it was a child molester or a suspected child molester, and the cops were very intent on catching him. And the quote was,
"Okay, you're asking me if I believe in the Constitution. Yes, I believe in the Constitution, and I hang on to that as long as I can. But in the case of a murderer like this who's going to walk, I leave my gun and my jewelry outside along with the Constitution."
And if you're wrong about this guy?
Well, then God forgive me.
You're a law professor. Have you done any trial work in which Miranda came up?
I did criminal appeals. I worked at the state appellate defender here in Illinois. So I did a lot of appeals in cases where it was pretty clear that people were convicted primarily or in some cases entirely based on their confessions when there was no physical evidence against them, for example. And people just did not hear the warning of Miranda.
Do you know that, in fact, they did actually hear a warning, that it was actually offered to them by the cops in every case?
In most cases, the cops do give the Miranda warnings. But what happens, and NYPD Blue is really good at depicting what happens, which is that the cops subvert the meaning of Miranda. They subvert the spirit. They say the words, but then they follow it with exactly what Sipowicz and Simone, I think, usually follow it with in NYPD Blue, which is, yeah, you know, you've heard these words and this is this kind of technical mumbo jumbo, but take it from us. If you really want to help yourself, you will talk to us. You won't go lawyering up. And so I would say that that's a very accurate portrayal of something that the cops do all the time.
In real life, people will confess to things they haven't done. In real life, the cops can be wrong.
That's right. We now know that people who are coerced in certain ways and told that they can't leave until they say certain things and deprived of sleep and sustenance will, in surprising numbers, confess to crimes they didn't commit. And so you're absolutely right. We never see that on NYPD Blue because on NYPD Blue, we have the viewer's privileged perspective. We know who committed the crime already, and we can see the cops moving closer to their appropriate suspect. We don't see the innocent person confessing, and we usually don't see the innocent person getting hauled into the interrogation room in the first place. And we're rooting, as the audience, for those niceties and technicalities like Miranda to be swept aside and to get the bad guy before he does more damage.
So TV isn't good for democracy.
I wouldn't go that far. And in fact, some people say it's the greatest education effort ever. Everyone knows their Miranda rights because they've all seen it on TV. There's a great story about some guy getting pulled over for a crime and saying, "You can't interrogate me. I know my rights." And the cop says, "Well, sir, this is Canada."
Susan, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Susan Bandes is a professor of law at DePaul University.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.